Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Live, March. I don't know the date anymore. I've been locked in for God knows how long. Whatever March date this is. I don't know. I need a drink.
March 23rd. How about that?
Really? It is? What year?
Yes. I don't know.
The year.
1840.
Okay.
I don't know anymore.
You just proved my point.
Oh, boy.
I need fresh air. Welcome to another. Oh my God, I'm doing it already. Oh boy. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself, that be locked down with two badass kids driving him crazy. I am the Hot Rod. Then I have the sensitive one himself, who's trying to go outside, but he's on lock and chains to the wall right now. He is.
Oh, boy. It's Sean Black back in the building once again. Boy.
Yeah. All right. 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. I'm sure there's a lot to talk about. But first, I'll give Sean Black the honors. I know he's dying to say something about this. Go ahead.
No. I'm going to reserve what I have to reserve and just wait until, you go ahead and bring up the topics and then, we'll see where we go from there. But even before all of that, even before you get into that, before we probably forget about it, today is, like I said earlier, top of the show.
That's March 23rd. I knew you would do this. That's what I was waiting for. Go ahead.
Yeah. March 23rd. Tomorrow, which would be Tuesday the 24th, will be the Absolute Truth 5th anniversary. We've been doing this show since March 24th, 2015. And I have
really?
To, first of all.
Really? Really?
Yes.
I don't remember.
I didn't know. You know, we all sat down and did this show the first time, from all of the stuff that we did when we initially started was you and I, and then you and I and Anitra B, and then we did a lot of other had a lot of other people come in and do a lot of those things, but to pioneer the show that we've been able to do and to do all of the shows we've done and to be able to be heard all over the nation, all over the world, because we are on the internet online through Blog Talk Radio and have everybody listen to us. And even now, the way our show is construed with Lady T, who has done a great job as a great addition to our show, I just, from my side of it, have to thank you for having me along this ride with you. All the concept, all of the current events and all of the ups and downs with the show and all the things that we've had and all the people that have called in. And hopefully we continue to do what we do while we stay safe. So from that sense, I thank you for that.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, I seem to be a little more grateful about this show than you are.
I was pouring myself a drink, okay?
Oh, of course.
But to add on to what Sean said, ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of the King of Kings heart, to our favorite listeners, Max, Michael in California, to all the people that contribute to the show, to Brother B, Big Red, Lady T, Kato, from the beginning he was on, Anitra B, Phil the Fishman Fisher. Let's go on and on. Shirley, the guy from India, whatever he is, I don't know.
The phenom who called up a couple times.
Yeah, the
all
phenom,
those people.
Everybody else, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. I apologize if I forgot some names, because the list goes on and on. We're over 5,000 listeners all together in the last few years. Thank you. Around the world. I was like, I never thought we would reach this far. And when Sean brought this up to me a few months ago, I'm like, yeah, you got an exciting show, some fun, just BS a little bit, just chill out. But fortunately, that's not the case. Unfortunately, it's it's getting worse and worse with the coronavirus. I'm sure Sean will have the numbers and everything, but I just want to talk about the stress, the dilemma of this coronavirus it has on people and the world so far. I would never thought, we talked about this many times before, but I would never thought it would reach to this point. Like, okay, you know what, Sean Black, it's with you. Am I panicking? You know me, I'm not. Am I concerned and nervous or scared? Of course. Am I taking caution? That's all I could do. Because even though you hear so many different things about the coronavirus, for me, you know, I have to worry about my family, worry about myself because I'm asthmatic. I don't want, if there's no ventilation, there's no vents going on in the hospital. The hospitals are being overcrowded. Where can I go, per se? But it's a scary time it is right now. Like, there's still fights in supermarkets over toilet paper, even though there's really not much toilet paper left. But it comes to a point that I was talking to a friend last night, because the new social distance now is FaceTime and Skype and everything. When people go to the supermarket, they buy things. People don't realize they're pouring out stuff that they probably don't need, that other people could use. Like, you could go to the supermarket and buy, like, 5 packs of chicken nuggets, for say. And you take them home. You ask yourself, do you really need 5 packs of frozen chicken nuggets? Are you planning to eat chicken nuggets for the next 3 months that you're locked in? Or are there other people that have nothing at all? You have mothers who are on social media crying because they can't find diapers for their own children. And like I told Sean prior last week, for my boss, I just sent to her daughter a box of paper towels and toilet paper, 2 boxes, something that's worth maybe $30, give or take, to send her to the West Coast, $400. And we both shaking our heads like, does this make any sense that we're spending $400 of paper goods across the country for a family member? But they can't find any in that area. This is like the new norm now. And now the new norm in New York City is 6 feet away. no gatherings, no get togethers. There's a lot of people doing shows from home, doing work from home. A lot of people lost jobs. Just last week alone, Sean Black, over 2 million people applied for unemployment in a week. Mm. Over 2 yeah. million in 1 week. And one more story before I pass it on to you. It's so bad. You can't help but feel sorry for people. But at the same time, you got to take care of yourself. Like, I went to a diner last week to buy food for me and my coworkers. And then the manager was, like, so happy. You know, I bought, like, maybe $100 worth of food, give or take. You know, to me, it was nothing. It was on the company's card. But besides that, because he was the manager, the cashier, the waiter. All he had was him and the cook. And that's like a new norm now. You know, you have to lay off your workers because you can't afford to pay them. And your president, Trump, don't see it that way at all. He wants this problem solved within a week or so. Well, we have true losers out there. Like, I know he's not the best in the world, but New York Governor Cuomo. What's his first name again? Mario? No, not Mario.
Andrew. You're thinking of his father, Mario.
His father, yes. Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah.
And I was telling ADT earlier, it's like, what a difference of leadership between our governor compared to Mayor Bill Big Bird, de Blasio, and Trump. 3 completely different leaders. But Cuomo, no one stand out like, listen, it's going to get worse before it gets better. We need to calm down. We need to live our lives. 40% to 80% of people will get the coronavirus. That means you and me could probably have it right now, or most likely we will get it, give or take. And you know what? And this could take months, maybe even 9 months, per se. When I heard that, it sounds like it sounds scary, but at the same time, like, you know what? At least he tried to tell you his projection. let's try to tell like it is compared to someone. I want this thing done by next week. It's killing the stock market. It's killing the jobs, you know. But go right ahead.
I echo pretty much a lot of everything that you just said. And you're in a unique situation in the fact that you have two children. I don't have any children of my own, so I don't have that immediate worry and fear that you figure you want to be able to take care of your family at the same time. You don't want to get anybody sick. You don't want to get sick and bring it home to the children. And knowing that this is one of those things that everybody has to think about or worry about, the one thing that you usually think in the back of your mind when you talk about stress
excuse me, to add one more to your point, the man saying that school technically speaking was supposed to come back April 20th, give or take. What happened to cancel school for the rest of the semester? Now, parents have to figure out what to do until June.
Yes.
Now, I mean,
makes it even more of a squeeze to the teachers who now have to figure out, they're going to have to figure out how these teachers are going to get paid. Sick leave, pay leave, that kind of thing. And when you look at the like you said, with the stress of everybody now having to do homeschooling through the internet, teachers teaching through, I guess, Google or whatever, and they have to certify what the classroom hours are for what the kids are doing and how to document the hours that they've logged in, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be a mess for a long time. And
It's a mess because let's say you're trying to do work from home and schoolwork at the same time. I'm like, for example, baby mama is home with the kids. She got to do her job and deal with school kids at the same time while I'm at work, while I'm trying to run home and do the switcheroo. So imagine a family like that every day. How can you work from home and make sure your kids is getting homeschooled at the same time? I'm not saying it's impossible, but I'm saying that is hard to do. And try to make them breakfast and lunch on top of that. Think about that.
Yes.
That's like almost mission impossible. Go ahead.
Yeah. That's definitely one of those things that you have to deal with, stress related. You got to deal with how do you go to the bank if you need to put something in your account if you don't have direct deposit? What happens if, you know, something in the house breaks and you need to call a repairman? How are they going to get over there when they can't really leave, go anywhere? If you need to, you've run out of something, you have it. There are so many facets of this entire outbreak, this pandemic that's been going on, that don't get discussed as much. And when you hear the different components of each part of this, when you hear about the attitude that a lot of young millennials have towards this, when you look at, we've talked about this and documented this before last week and the week before, is that apparently older people with underlying health conditions are very susceptible to it. They've said that, well, a lot of the young, they can't get it. Well, we already heard about a 7-year-old that got coronavirus. How long did they live on surfaces? As I talked about that last week, the last show that we did. Forward, we have to now look at all of the things going on, bringing up the millennials part of it. The reason why I'm bringing that up is because you remember there was an article on the news just 2 or 3 days ago. A lot of idiotic teenagers and college age kids hanging out on the beach for spring break, especially in Florida, not realizing or not caring. Oh well, I'm not going to get sick, et cetera, et cetera. Well, guess what? A lot of those spring breakers did come down with coronavirus, and now they have to go ahead and figure out, one, to get tested. Two, anybody they came in contact with, and three, have they passed it on to anyone? These
especially
are the kinds
the
of things. Exactly. Did they pass it along to the elderly that might have been in the area at the time? People that might have worked around that time? People that they met traveling there? These are the kinds of things that we don't realize, that we don't talk about enough of. And
before I pass it to Lady T, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, putting it at where all of these things go, just to show you, there's 42,700 confirmed positive cases, over 541 dead. And you're looking at an administration who didn't up until recently take this whole thing seriously. And a lot of people are taking their cues from the leadership ahead of us. And this is the reason why right now as a country we're so far behind the eight ball. And that's the scariest part of it.
Well, it's funny they say that how governor came to New York City and he was outraged to see the amount of people in the park, you know, socializing. Like, wait a minute, aren't people listening that there's an epidemic, there's a pandemic, excuse me, going on, and people are catching a virus left and right? Why are there so many people together, especially
you
in
know
park?
Why there's so many people together? Due to the fact that this is going to get overwhelming after a time, does he not expect people to start back going outside, going in the park as maybe groups of 5 or 10? People are going to get tired. You consistently do the same thing over and over every day. You stay indoors every day. You're confined to that space. It's time to bust out. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But it's funny they say that, especially with young people, but I'm an outside. I go outside all day, every day. For me to be in a household with two badass kids, even an hour, you know me, I lose my mind easily. So I get that. Well, if the government wants us to stay home, is this a time to practice our right to stay home and try to be safe? Then sorry.
Or is
like
it your time
earlier
to practice freedom of speech? Don't forget you'll have the rebellious ones that this is not constitutional. You know, that crowd will soon come out too.
True, but ladies, you know who told us that, you know what, we should not take it seriously or not take it seriously? I was one of those. I did not take it seriously. But now I'm taking caution as hell because, like I told you, I'm black. I have a family. I have to go out to work. I have my letter. I got to be careful now bringing this back home because I have asthma. My kids have asthma. God forbid we go to the hospital, there's no machine to help us. You know, I'd be damned if I go out and just be mingling along with people. Number one, everybody knows I hate people. So that's a given. So that's not a problem. But overall, why are now people now following the rules overall?
Yeah, why wasn't they following it when it was out there before also and you were still up in front of people's face, the bus and trains were crowded? You know, it was, why wasn't you following it then? We had the pandemic then. You just wasn't concerned that it was really a pandemic. So I'm not understanding what the difference is right now. Please tell me.
I can tell you the difference with that right now. The difference is that the people that are in power or the people that have the connection to be able to help, either they are sick or they know people that are sick. I'll give you a perfect example. We're now hearing news that senators now have come down with coronavirus. The same one, Senator Rand Paul, came down with, it was tested positive. He wasn't symptomatic. He didn't have to show the symptoms, which is part of the scarier part of this whole thing. And he apparently, from what was being talked about, was he was actually at the, there was a gym on the premises there, and he swam in the swimming pool, and he did all of these other things to expose other people to it. Now, this is before he found out he was tested positive. Now you have an epidemic potential there where you have four people there. The vice president, Mike Pence, he was tested because one of his staffers came down with it. And what the ultimate irony of this entire thing is that the people that parroted on television for the last few weeks, this is going to go away. The weather is going to change. Everything is going to be different. All of these kinds of things happening. And now all of a sudden the tone has changed because those people are coming down with it and getting sick. And the reason why is because a lack of integrity. And the reason why I say that is most people realize the definition of integrity. Integrity is doing the right thing when no one is looking. The problem is trying to find integrity in this with this administration and a lot of the people above that were trying to go out there, it's like Aquaman trying to find a dry spot in the ocean. A lot of the men don't have.
Okay, we have another. We have a new caller on the line. 724, you are on the air.
Yeah, I have two things. First of all, the reason the majority of the public isn't following the rules is because they're calling the bluff of the government. Okay, so if I go out or a large group of people go out, what's going to happen? Are the police going to give me a ticket? Are they going to put me in jail? Absolutely not. Now, in China, they will. But in the United States, that would cause so much unrest that you're going to get more harm than good, in my opinion. Secondly, so I work in a hospital. I'm actually a security guard at a hospital. And we're doing things now a week ago we would never imagine we're doing. So I'll give you an example. So the other day, gentleman comes in, believe he was in cardiac arrest, goes to the emergency room and dies. We have to turn away the family at the door that they can't go in except one person. That was the wife. Now you had about 15 people that didn't know what's going on at the hospital being told that they just lost their loved one and they can't get any word, any updates, what's going on. And this is happening everywhere. ICU, you go, one visitor, if it's a life-threatening, if the person's near death, but if someone's having a baby, they can't go in with their boyfriend, no kids at all, except if it's for, they're being treated. So I can tell firsthand from working at a hospital just the dramatic changes of people's rights working there.
Could I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can I ask you just a quick question? How is the supply? First of all, thank you for your service. I have to say that because you're part of those people that are on the front line with that. So thank you for your service.
Thank you.
My question is, how does the supply chain look when it comes to certain necessities and supplies that they would need at a hospital? How does that look going on right now over the last few days?
Okay, so I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and right now it doesn't seem to be a real hot spot where the pandemic is hitting. So as far as the face masks, what they're doing is the employees can basically use them. If someone comes into the emergency room, they have to actually be showing symptoms. They're just not giving them out to everybody. They're kind of picking and choosing who gets them and who not, other than the security. As far as anything else, what I'm hearing on the news about the ventilators, I don't have any idea. I don't think it's a problem because I don't
not yet.
I think it's Charlotte right now. Carolina is really being hit hard by this pandemic. They do have the tents, the mobile tents outside during the day where you can drive up and get your nose tested and get a result, I think, back like 24 hours. But the face masks, they're limiting them. As far as the other stuff, the ventilators, I don't think they're at that point yet.
Okay, before I go, questions to Lady T, to you, caller. Do you think Donald Trump is doing, the Trump administration is doing a good job right now handling this crisis? That after you will be Lady. Go ahead.
I would say no. I mean, he's changing his tune every day. When he sees the stock market go down, he panics. Because he knows in November that's going to be his number one go-to get reelected. And when he sees it going down and, it goes from, maybe June, August to when people can get back to normal to now in a couple weeks to now maybe a week, he's just basically scaring the public, getting people's hopes up. As far as all the experts are saying, that it's not like that. The worst is yet to be seen. I will say, however, this. I think there's a time and place where you do have to worry about the economy and people losing their jobs to get so bad, where you look at it, well, if someone's 70 years old is at high risk of getting this, well, maybe they have to stay inside and maybe they have to be quarantined. But the younger, generation that's basically has all the jobs anyway is going to go back to work. Now, I understand if you have parents and you could have the virus and you could transmit it to your parents, but hey, that just might be a part of the thing you have to sacrifice. You might have to be extra precautious. You might, when you visit your parents, you might have to go in gowns and in masks. I mean, I know people don't want to hear it, but you might have to get to that point if you actually want to visit some of the older generation that could catch this a lot more easier, because the world just can't stop. It can't stop economically. Trump blows everything out of proportion, so you never know to take him serious or not. But you just can't stop the world for a year or something, because eventually more harm will be done. You know what's going to happen if people start don't get their paycheck, unemployment runs out. It could get so many different levels could get worse, other than just the virus.
Okay, Lady T.
And that's another thing that the caller even said was you can't keep things on pause forever. You understand? You're going to have people going out there regardless of whatever. People need to learn what it is to mean, like, you have a weakened immune system and so forth, so that you know the precautions to take. Because certain things, like for me, was normal with always wiping down with the wipes and stuff like that, because my daughter was a preemie, and I had to deal with that when she was first born. So it's like certain things to certain people are the norm and certain things are not. But this whole thing with the whole 6 feet away, in a full circle, you have to be away from each other and so forth. That's not going to be realistic. We have our mayor that's telling us, okay, that's going to go on from now until who knows when. Then you have the governor stating one thing and then saying the same things, but, has a time limit. So I feel like everybody is pretty much on a different pace. You have more people who are your governor that was also in the White House and, part of disaster teams like this and things like that, that has the hand on that. So it's like, I don't know. We really need someone that's in control and has the right people in control of the situation, because I don't feel like it is. Every day when the president speaks, I hear, different statements being said. And me, I like to put it on mute and watch body language. So I don't know. I'm not convinced yet.
I like that concept because, like I told Sean all the time, I see Cuomo, our governor of New York, Cuomo body language, but Trump language speaks high volume. His body language, like, I don't care. This is about me. Why are we talking about this? Or I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Let's just focus on something else. And this is like a joke to him. But to my caller in North Carolina, where do you think this? We all know we came from China, but do you think it all got started in China? Do you think it was a Mother Nature thing, or the Chinese people eating the exotic animals or stuff like that? What's your thing? What's your thoughts? No, Carolina. He's gone. Okay, he must have left. Sean Black, what do you think? Did I go to K-Dog?
Yeah, well, I think everybody realizes that based on what we've seen, we can't really say that it's just something that was created, because there's obviously no proof of that. I think that what a lot of people don't realize is when we hear about these kinds of diseases and these things that nobody can really explain or answer for, whatever they think it is, nobody knows where they come from. We don't even know where it might have originated from, per se. So it's more or less a guess. And for anybody to basically say it's a Chinese flu or the Chinese virus, which is what Trump and a lot of other people continually say as a racist dog whistle, it seems, in a lot of instances, they're doing a disservice to what the heck is going on and what needs to be done going forward.
K-Dog.
Hey, good evening, everyone. What's up?
Hello?
What's going on?
And listen, these are stressful times that people are living in now, and, the social distancing, people do get frustrated, especially when they're at home most of the time, and also, those that are living alone, that they have to, you know, probably go out for just to, you know, pick something up to eat, and come to find out your restaurant is closed. And also you, Sean was the one who said this earlier about people who have their finances to handle, and they have no supply over to they have no access to direct deposit, and they got to go pick up some money. You know, it's a lot of things going on now, especially with the stress that's going on. People's stress levels are getting higher and higher with this virus out there. But also, you know, being that we're here in New York City, we see what the mayor is saying and also what the governor is saying. You know, the governor is telling people, you know, that this is not a joke, that you need to social distance. But I could tell you it's hard. It's very hard out there, especially when people are out there in public transportation, especially, you know, you're in a group of people and you're like, man, you know, you don't know who has it. That's the scary part about it. But at the same time, you're trying to take precautions and you're doing the best you can. And it's still hard. It's hard on everybody. It's hard on a lot of people.
We have a new caller now, 7810. Yes. You're on the air. 7810? I don't
want to
say
your
whole number now.
Yes, yes. I'm sorry, I'm here. Had to take myself off mute. Yes, this is Aaron. Nice to meet you, everybody.
How are you?
What's going on?
From you?
In terms of the whole situation with the virus and the approach to everything was taken, I think a lot of this could have been stemmed early on simply by if we had a commander in chief that listened to his financial, his medical advisors,
mm-hmm.
and simply quarantined the first series of people that came in. It is unfortunately a rule of thumb where Americans typically blame those that wherever that something started. When Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, Japanese Americans were targeted. You know, when something happens, when the whole thing with the Middle East, Muslims and those that were in the U.S. were the first that were targeted, had nothing to do with it. Chinese Americans that are here, whether first generation or descendants, unfortunately getting blamed for this. Now, fact of the matter is, yes, exotic things are eaten in other countries, but it's not just Japan. If you go to a lot of other foreign countries overseas, they eat things that we would think are really unusual, exotic, but they've been doing it for countless centuries. It's unfortunately as we begin to do more stronger antibacterials and keeping ourselves, trying to maintain ourselves as healthy and disease-free, the diseases and the viruses, they mutate and get stronger to compensate on, quote-unquote, where they're from. So this arose, it was contracted.
I'm sorry, so you're saying that Mother Nature may have something to do with this virus? Mother Nature?
Say, yes.
Okay.
If we look at over the course of, you know, it's funny, if you look at, if you go to like Demolition Man, Sandra Bullock in one of the points was talking about after HIV there was this, that, and she goes through these series of things. We have had a series of evolutions of germs, viruses, and so forth. We had, you know, when the flu first came out, this is most likely what society was looking like. A bunch of people who were isolating themselves, didn't know exactly what would be the best course to deal with it, and were working on ways to actually treat society abroad. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at the major cities that have it, as frightening as it can be, this is not as bad as everyone would like it to be, not that it's not a health concern, but there's there's close to 80,000 people who already recovered from it, but we never hear that. We hear about the numbers of the individuals who have conducted it and the individuals who die, yet you don't hear about what those individuals had that died from it. The first guy that died in New Jersey, it was on every news being broadcast in the state of Jersey, but the gentleman had diabetes, he had high blood pressure, he had four of the things that, trying to make light of it, he was in a fight to begin with for life.
Yes. So this was an add-on.
Yes, this was an add-on. And don't get me wrong, this might have exacerbated a lot of the things he already had, but once again, they do the dramatization of the fact that he died and he had it, as opposed to giving society all the information. I've seen one doctor on the news talk about the fact that, yes, this is a severe outbreak, but if you're a healthy adult and had no pre-existing conditions, if you got it, you'll recover. The target are those with the pre-existing conditions and the elderly. Yeah. We always know the elderly are targets regardless, health-wise.
Oh, yeah.
And when you look at this, Michael Jordan had the flu and played a game, and the nation hailed him as this warrior for what he did. But
no, not me. I was so upset about that game. I'm a Knicks fan.
Spoken like a true Knicks fan, I see.
But they didn't quarantine the garden or, send people. It was the flu. The major issue is we don't have any kind of treatment for it yet, and it takes 8 to 12 months to culture and actually develop something close to what we have as the flu vaccine, or flu shot, I should say. It shouldn't be flu vaccine, but the flu shot. And so because it takes that long, there's a window of, there's not much we can do for the society right now. But it also is not, you get it, you drop dead tomorrow.
All right. Thank you for that. Sean Black, anything you'd like to add on to that?
I agree with everything he just said, in the sense that we also know that we don't know, even more so, not just the fact that we don't know about, we know necessarily about all of the things that he just pointed out. We also don't know as much as how those countries that have actually gotten through a lot of the coronavirus, what their techniques were, what was advertised and what was effective, what wasn't. And what doesn't help is the fact that the administration that we have in place now is only now taking the reins as far as trying to do what they can to, quote-unquote, try to make sure that they can assure people of certain things. But yet there's so many myth messages and cross messages out there. And when we have a president who's supposed to assure everybody about what's going on, and instead of making sure things get taken care of, he's at a press conference dumping on a reporter, saying he's a bad reporter just for asking a question that most of the people in the United States are asking. What do you tell people that are scared? What do you tell people that are afraid that they hear you saying this? How should we feel? And goes into that. And he even went on Twitter and basically said, we're not going to let the cure be worse than the problem. Those are the kinds of things that a lot of people just look at and wonder, how can I feel comfortable, safe, and reassured, knowing that this is the message that's being sent out there?
I'm sorry, Sean. I'm laughing at you, but I'm laughing at something else. But go ahead, K-Dog.
But all I got to say is that it shows poor leadership on his part. Because as a leader, knowing this was happening for months before, and he never brought it to, and he never took it seriously neither. So now here we are in the midst of a terrible storm. And what are you telling the American people? Are you assuring the American people that you're getting things done? I don't think he is. He just doesn't get it.
Well, unfortunately, we have. Unfortunately, the president is the just on his track record of what he did with his companies. He's not. He is one of the worst leaders. And when you have press conferences where you have people who are educated on something giving you facts and information, you go around at the same conference and speak your own whatever. That starts to create unsure unrest with people because you're like, how are y'all here at the same meeting and y'all don't know what y'all going to be saying to the public? Like, y'all are not on the same page just to give a statement.
Okay, McCullough, I believe you.
Yeah.
I'm not debating against you, but the people that you talk about, the same people that will put him back in office in 2020, because Lady T and my other colleague, Kate O'Neill, I asked a question on Facebook, if the Trump administration is doing a good job. My Facebook page blew up between the Trump supporters and the non-Trump supporters. And these are the same Trump supporters that will put him back in office for 2020. I haven't told Sean Black, do you see him winning this because of the epidemic? He's, yes, unfortunately. Do you see him winning it because of the outbreak?
Unfortunately, one of my good friends said it when there was a statement made in regards to this $150 billion bailout, or not bailout, but relief plan, where people would be getting $1,000 for food, I mean $1,000 for bills and so forth, and compensated.
Yeah,
and he said, I don't believe it. He just literally legally bought the next election. And unfortunately, it's things like that that the same people who voted for him because they were going to save their coal plants, and then the coal plants ultimately still closed, and they'll say, well, he didn't do that, but he still got us money and was able to help us keep the lights on. Unfortunately, they tend to the average, unfortunately, Trump supporter will hold on to any glimmer of light despite whatever negatives are there to prove their point. At least in my opinion, Obama supporters, we would acknowledge whatever little mistakes he did make, at the same time acknowledging what he did accomplish. It's not the same with the state that we're at right now.
Well, to Lady T, we talked about this over the weekend. How about when Obama had Ebola, and other
Ebola, SARS. He had a whole bunch of them. He had maybe four, right?
Four of them.
With
his 8 years, it didn't happen this bad. But, you know, they're still saying
because
that Trump
is doing
a big
difference. He let the people in the medical field handle that, and he conducted his duties as a president as far as what we need for federal reserves and things like that. You have
a
to know your place,
you
and certain
that.
People feel like they I don't know if our president knows what sectors he needs to be in. This is not how you run a business.
Well, unfortunately, politics gets in play because I've heard on the news between New York governors, mayors, New Jersey governors talking about – New Jersey mayor and governor had me sick talking about we're going to lose more people than we can save, making it sound as if we literally have the Black Plague coming into town. This people die every year from the flu, and it's never even a story. This we're going to have people die from this, yes, but it's maybe if we lost 50 people from the flu, we might lose 75 people because of this. I understand losing a life because of something, of a virus or disease is sad, but the fear that they're promoting and pushing is not just is really, in my opinion. And anyone can chime in. Making an argument like that on the news to the media pushes for them to get more money.
Okay.
And
Sean?
Ultimately,
but
end of the day.
Go ahead, finish your point.
Oh, yeah. So at the end of the day, they are pushing for more money from the government to do more things that they want because of this. And, you know, why they're making it seem the sky is falling all the time.
Yeah. And we've also, I definitely agree to a point, but also at the same time, we also know that there's another motivation going on here. You know, I mean, if we're looking at what's going on now, this is an election year, so we know all of this is going on. The president knows that his perceived strength, and I'm putting a big emphasis on perceived, his perceived strength in the eyes of this country is how he handles finances and business. If the stock market tanks, it's going to be looked at as a blight on him because he's really gotten nothing else accomplished other than the tax cuts for the rich, which for the most part, most people have looked at. He's had things happen in his tenure as far as getting people elected into the Supreme Court. Judges that will be more conservative leaning. So there's that decision that he's made over the that will last a long, long time after he's out of office. And what he's doing now is at the same time trying to make himself look like the smartest person in the room. As we said that before, and I've said this to you, Hot Rod, off air, the most intelligent person is the intelligent man that knows he's not the smartest man in the room. This person continues
and I disagree
to
with that.
That.
I disagree with that because you know I am the smartest man on this panel, but go ahead.
And I think that comment just proves my point.
Okay. With 10 minutes left, I'd like to let's change the topic a little bit. And the other caller, feel free to jump in. This is like a guy's question. So, Lady T, let's sit back and listen. Feel free to give us your feedback on this question for the guys. Sean and I thought about this. We thought this is a fun question. So, Sean Black, I'll start with you first since we talked about it. What is the first thing? Well, hold on. I'm so sorry. Another question up. What makes a woman unattractive to you, Sean Black? The first thing.
The first thing for me is conceit. That's one. But that you only find that out based on knowing the person. But to me, as far as a physical throw of something that physically throws me off, cigarette smoking. I have always, since I was a kid, I could not stand seeing anybody, male or female, with a cigarette, smoking anything. And if that is the case, it's almost as if you could be the most beautiful woman out there with personality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's something about seeing that cigarette that just it I don't know. It's just that's just me. As far as it's just cigarette smoking and it's I don't know. It's just that
So it turns you off completely.
Sorry,
this is Aaron on that.
Okay.
I second that
Aaron.
As far as the
I
smoke.
Thought you was Sean.
Go ahead, caller.
I second the cigarette smoke, but on top of that, for me, it's a turn off, something that's unattractive, is a woman who chews with her mouth open, like a cow. That is the most unattractive thing a woman could do. That if I got to sit there and think about and hear everything that you eat, and then just glimpse of doing that, being in that situation for the rest of my life, I'll cut my own throat.
So what happens if the girl lets you chew gum? She loves to chew gum, and she's snapping at gum.
Oh, okay. Now
I think we've
gum
been there.
Gum is one thing because you know a lot of people, guys do it, girls do it, but let's say we eating down, we got macaroni and cheese, we got candy yams, some collard greens, and I'm hearing every single sound and color as it goes in and out of your mouth. And down. I got to move.
Okay.
I ain't gonna want to finish eating. That's unattractive as hell.
Okay, I know. And K-Dawg, it's your turn.
Well, first I got to say, yes, the smoking. I mean, that's disgusting because you know what? Within years, the woman's going to have a voice deeper than mine. That's a complete – and when a woman is basically unkept, in other words, like, let's just say a terrible dresser, like, you know, gorgeous. No, I just think she's gorgeous.
That's odd.
And you know what else? The way she holds herself. That if she doesn't keep herself like, you know, she's not keeping herself like.
Are you saying
like
low self-esteem? Oh, she's sloppy. In what way?
Yeah,
her clothes, her hair.
So, like everything, like for me, it would be a turnoff because I'll see like, man, why does she think like that of herself, or why does she think that why does she think that? It's like a low self-esteem, and it, you could see it on the outside as well.
Yeah.
I'll throw this at you. I'll throw this at you with an unkept thing for a second. I think it's actually sexy if a woman can be unkept and still look good.
Oh, like, there's some females like that.
I think that's sexy.
No.
You got the female in sweat.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Ripped up shirt and she still looks sexy.
A woman could dress. A woman could be, could dress like they could say sloppy, but she looks good. But the way she carries herself.
Then you better have a 6-pack, 8-pack abs and all of that going for her. You better look even better on the other end, brother.
Oh man. Okay. See, I like this, but this kind of lined up the mood a little bit with everything that's going on. As for me, go ahead.
Oh well, I was just adding, like, ultimately, us as men, we're visual creatures, so it's all about what. Individually, we find, and normally, there's certain things that we all find attractive, but then there's some things that some of us find attractive and others just don't care for.
Sure. Well, okay, you know what? I would be a woman who
has an attractive mind. How could she attract me with her mind is the way she speaks.
You got to get to know the person.
Once I see that, it makes you beautiful all over when you're intelligent, when you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but I want to go back to what the caller said earlier about, something some guys like and something some other guys won't like. Like me, I love an ass, but I don't like the bubble butt. I don't like that cartoon body figure of a woman where she's like skinny on the top and the ass is blowing up like she got a blip butt. It doesn't work out for me. That is a complete turn off. Like, they want to go get that plastic surgeon. Where did that ass come from?
If she got all of her parts from Amazon, then that's probably not what you're looking for.
Exactly. No, if she had the parts added on, like, she bought her breasts from this part and she bought her.
Yeah,
that's a complete turn off, man. If
she could do her ass and her breasts, no, go ahead, do you. But there's a limit. Her thigh is like skinny, but her butt is like the size of a door. Then she can't fit through the door. And that doesn't work out. I'm sorry. That's a turnoff. Yes,
and don't forget you have girls with that type of shape that they didn't do anything to their body. They just have booty. What can you do? They got booty and hips. Nothing they can do about it but keep it.
So you bounce quarters off of that booty. You see if it's real or not, or it deflates. That's what you
Well,
do,
some of you
know.
Guys wouldn't even know if it was real or not.
Oh, well, listen, I think some of you guys.
Realness comes when the butt is connected. Like, there's a certain connection.
Connected. What is this, RoboCop?
Okay.
I tell you, thing that is attractive, that, and I'm sure there are a lot of other guys that think this way also, maybe this is just me. I actually am drawn to or attracted to somebody that has something that's different that a lot of people aren't, quote-unquote, drawn to, like a woman that might have freckles or somebody that might have a beauty mark somewhere, something like that, because that draws
me to them.
So
you could connect
them.
The dots?
You know what?
I'm just saying, third eye, most people don't have, so
when,
I'm just throwing that out.
I love to see when a woman laughs. And her whole face, you could tell she's having a good laugh when you see that cute little wrinkle on her nose. And when she laughs, she kind of like, she smiles while she's laughing. And you're like, man, she has a laughter that could make me laugh.
K-Dog, when they open up the bars, you and I are going back to the bar to have a drink, okay? We need to talk about it, okay? We need to have a talk.
Wait, you do
brought up the question about what you'd find unattractive. How long is it before a girl can fart around you before, you know, how soon can she fart around you? Because I know that's a thing that, depending on who you are, first date. That's it.
Oh, no, first date. She's my woman. You fart on me? Oh, go ahead. That's my girl.
No, but you know
there's
what?
There's no secret.
There's something called a silent killer. You don't know when that killer comes from. You know, just smell it. You can't even hear it.
Okay, but 4 minutes left. Let's give it to Lady C now. Is there anything you'd like to address about this?
No. We need more women callers for mine because we'll go down a list of the wrongs for you guys. We need more women callers.
But what do you think about feedback overall?
I mean, certain things that you guys said was good. I didn't understand the whole dresser thing, but okay. But then when the caller flipped it around, you know, turned it the other way, I understood the point. Okay. I don't know. I think you guys are too picky, and you have the nerve. Unless you guys are coming with the six-pack abs and the buff chest, like the Boris Kojo type look. I don't know.
Hold on.
Some of you looking at the six-pack abs is nice, but everybody ain't looking for that. But I'm just saying.
Something. Better bring some Hercules arms or something, know how to do repairs, something.
Yeah.
Repairs? Wow.
Yeah, repairs. It's serious.
Okay.
What is so intriguing about women is this. We as men have five things typically that we like, and that's about it. Of course, each man is a little different, more or less. But women have an eye that is able to accept so many other things that as a guy, we just couldn't get past. I give women credit for that.
It seems like you guys need to start making some changes from that statement. Because we seem like we accepted it.
we're from Mars, y'all from Venus. That just ain't going to change. Like, you know, you can accept a guy with two different shape, you know, length arms. We can't do it with a woman with two different length legs.
Not everyone can look like Popeye, you know.
some ladies like Chick-fil-A, okay? Some like Popeye, some like Chick-fil-A. But Lady T does not like either one.
I do not eat chicken. Mm-mm.
And on that note. But you know what? I don't find it funny that all guys.
I'm probably the only black man that's allergic to poultry, so.
Oh, damn. No. Sean Black doesn't eat chicken, but he is chicken overall. But besides that, I just find it funny that all four of us men found smoking unattractive right away. And what happened when the men smoke? Is that fair? You know?
And that's probably one of the things that a woman will you know, bypass, will look past it, because maybe you know how to do painting.
It would be disgusting whoever is doing it. It's a nasty habit that a lot of people, they get caught up on when they're younger and they try to find a way to get off of it. But as something that is supposed to attract somebody to it, to me, it's very hard. It's funny.
We talk about smoking, but, you know, we have people outside wearing gloves and masks, you know, to protect themselves, but they still go outside and smoke. I'm like, isn't that defeating the purpose of wearing the mask in the first place?
Well,
other than that, Lady T, K-Dog, caller, I'm sorry we didn't get your name.
What's your name again, caller?
The name's Aaron.
Thank you so much, K-Dog, guys. Thank you. Sorry to say that this may be our last show for the time being. We're going to do pop-up shows
going
together because our schedule. Yeah, I'm on lockdown for a while with my badass kids. So, guys, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Stay safe. God bless. And till next time.
And of course, the pleasure is all yours.
Seriously, Sean, after the show, don't you want to go have a cigarette together?
See, that's how I know you haven't had enough to drink, or maybe you are sober.
No, I'm not sober right now. Oh, well. Guys, good night. Please, seriously, take care of yourself and be safe.
Good night.
Please stay safe.
Good night, y'all. Peace out.
Good night.